in a hadith that Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Abbas was a young boy. He was about your age. Most of you in here, he was about your age when he was learning from the Prophet ﷺ. Some of the boys from the Quraysh and Ansar said to Ibn Abbas, come play with us. He said, no, I want to go sit and listen to the Prophet ﷺ. And they said, oh, there's plenty of Sahaba doing that and they're all learning. And he said, but they're going to die, and then who will be knowledgeable? And so they went and played, and Ibn Abbas went to learn. Later on, the boys said, when they saw Ibn Abbas become a scholar, and people honored him, and people sat at his feet, they regretted the time they wasted when they were young people at the same age of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ibn Abbas relates a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ اِخْتَنِمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ غَنِيمَ غَنِيمَ يَغْنَمُ means to benefit from something. غَنِيمَ is like something you get from struggle. You struggle and you get the rewards of your struggle, is like what they call in English booty, like some type of anfal. So he said, benefit from five things before five things. The first one he said, شَبَابَكَ قَبْلَ هَرِمِكَ, your youth before your old age. Who can tell me how long Shabab lasts? Right there. Good. That's 40 years old. From the age you're in now, you're in the Shabab, until you're 40, you have strength that you don't have after 40. It begins to diminish because life is what they call in English curvilinear. In Arabic, مقوّس. You begin here, you get stronger, 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 حتى بلغ أشده. You know, he reaches his strong point, بلغ أربعين. When he reaches 40, he's at his peak, it's downhill from there. And then you begin كهولة, and then شيخوخة. شيخوخة, you know, زعمتني شيخا ورست بشيخ إنما شيخ من يدب دبيبة. A man proposed to a woman. She said, you're too old, you're sheikh. He said, she claims I'm an old man, but I'm not. A sheikh is the one that walks around slowly. I still have some energy. Sheikhukha is the last phase. And then right before, the final phase is ajiz. Ajuz is after sheikhukha, you become ajuz. You can't do anything. So when you have your youth, it's a great blessing. Do you know what Shabbat An-Nar means? Shabbat An-Nar? Shabbat An-Nar? You don't know? Shabbat An-Nar. Ishta'alat An-Nar. Shabab is from Ishti'al. It's the time you have fire, you have energy. And you have to use that energy for good. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. The Prophet ﷺ warned us about Ida'at Al-Mal, wasting wealth. The next one he said was صحتك قبل سقمك. Benefit from your health before your sickness. If you لا قدر الله, may Allah give you all عافية, يمتعكم بالصحة والسلامة ما دمتم أحياء. But if you get sick, one of the حكماء, he said الصحة تاج على رؤوس الأصحة لا يراه إلا المرضى. That health is a crown on the healthy, only the sick can see it. It's a crown on the healthy, only the sick can see it. So your health is a great blessing. Guard your health. Some of the Shabab here already getting pouches, not good. You guys need to exercise. Don't eat bad food. Don't eat McDonald's. Don't eat it's bad food. Really, if you knew what was in it, you wouldn't eat it. Don't eat, you know, really, take care of your health. Eat good food, healthy food. Don't eat a lot of food. The Arabs, they say, al-bitnatu tudhib al-fitna. Having big stomachs will cause your intellect to deteriorate. I just read 3 days ago, in the International Herald Tribune, an article on a study done in Sweden proving that the bigger the waist expands, the more mental deterioration there is. And they actually have proven that young people that have too much fat around their girth or their waist, they actually are already developing plaque in their brains. So exercise. Get out, run around. You have your health, take advantage of it. You need to recreate. You know, exercise is a good thing. You have to recreate. Don't be studying all the time. But also don't be playing all the time. There's a time for each one. Right now you have to have balanced life. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to benefit from your malaka qabla faqrika. Benefit from your wealth before your poverty. Some of you are given allowances. Don't squander your allowances. Use them for intelligent things. As you get older, you see a lot of people waste their money. Wallahi, I was just in Mecca and Medina, and the amount of food that is wasted from people in those hotels. They go to the buffet, and they pile their plate, and then they leave their plate at the table, and like it's nothing. Israf. Kulu wa sharabu wa la tusrifu. Eat and drink, but don't be wasteful. Don't be extravagant. Innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. Because God doesn't love people that are extravagant or wasteful. My wife and I, we took food every single time there was food left over. We took it down, and there were poor people on the streets of Mecca that were so happy to get the food. Don't think there's not people here in this country that if you brought them food, they wouldn't be happy that you gave them food. Wallahi. So really recognize the sacred trust of having blessings. Some of you come from wealthy families. Don't squander your parents' wealth. Utilize it on good things. There's orphans. You can pay $30 a month. My wife and I have an orphan in Indonesia. We get letters from this orphan. $30 a month supporting an orphan. You can do that. Things, simple things that you can do at your age. Now. And then he said, فَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شَغْلِكَ اِخْتَنِمْ. Utilize your free time before you're preoccupied. You're young people now, you have a lot of free time. You have a lot of free time. You're young people. But your free time is going to be lost. You won't have it forever. You'll get preoccupied. Sayyidina Umar said, تَفَقَّهُ قَبْلَ أَن تَسُودُ. Learn fiqh, learn how to live before you're in positions of authority. We have ministers in many countries now, not just Muslim countries, in the West. You know Dan Quayle, he was a vice president in the United States. He misspelled potato. It's a famous story. He wasn't very bright. You know what he said when he got elected vice president? If I knew I would have got this far, I would have studied harder in school. You don't want people in positions of power that are not educated. You don't want doctors that didn't study hard. We have doctors now that cheat on their examinations. They go to school, they don't study, they cheat. Now how is that going to be when you go to get surgery and the doctor doesn't know what he's doing? And that's why the number four cause of death in the United States is from doctors' mistakes. Number four, according to the Journal of American Medical Association, the number four cause of death in the United States is iatrogenic diseases, doctor-induced diseases, misdiagnoses, giving medicines people don't need, mistakes they make in treating the patients. You don't want doctors like that. You want doctors that know what they're doing, that studied hard. You know what they call a graduate from a medical school who got D's all the way through when he graduates? They call him doctor. And he might be your doctor. So you don't want to be that type of person because you have a trust to so benefit from your time. Don't waste your time. And then he said, وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَمَاتِكَ. Benefit from your life before your death. You have a short time here. You don't know how long it is. Maybe 20 years, 30, 40, 50. Maximum, you're going to go maybe 100 more years. Maximum. 120, people don't live beyond that. Very rare for somebody to exceed 120. Most people now, average death is between 60 and 70 years globally. The Prophet said, "A'maru ummati ma bayna 60 wa 70." It's a miracle of the Prophet, because he said the lifespan of people after my religion starts until the end of time will be between 60 and 70 years. That's a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, that he didn't need to do statistical studies to find out the mean, the median, and the average lifespan. Allah told him how long people were going to live for his ummah, which means Muslim and non-Muslim, because it includes everybody after his message. So he said, "A'maru ummati ma bayna 60 wa 70." So most of us will live between 60 and 70 years. It's a limited amount of time. My suggestion to you, don't watch television except maybe on the weekend, and then watch things that are worthwhile. I wouldn't just watch waste things. If it's a film that has some good meaning or something useful, or it's there's a lot of interesting National Geographic and other programs that you can benefit from. Some of the programs that use good Arabic, you can learn Arabic. So there's some of the cartoons and things are using Fusha, that you can benefit from that. But don't waste a lot of time doing that. I wouldn't watch television during the week, because you have to study. And then the time that you're not studying, instead of watching television, you should be out kicking a ball around, getting some exercise, exercising your body, visiting your friends, doing intelligent things with your friends. These are the things that you should be preoccupying yourselves with. And I'll finish with a story I told the girls, all right? Because it's useful for you as well. There were three fish in a lake. One fish was brilliant. The other fish was intelligent. And the third fish was ahmaq. Samakun ahmaq. A stupid fish. All right. And one day, the lake wasn't big. One day a fisherman came and he started casting his net. So the intelligent fish, the brilliant one, he said, "It's time to head for the sea, because the lake is too small and we'll get caught in the net eventually." So he left, went to the river, down to the sea. The smart one, he said, "That's the most intelligent fish in the lake. And if he's heading for the sea, I'm going to head for the sea." The stupid one said to him, "It's a long journey to the sea. And it's a big lake, small net. We should just stay here, enjoy what we have. Nothing much has changed." He disagreed, he took off for the sea. So the third one, the stupid fish, he got caught in the net. And then the fisherman took him out and he was frying him. And in the frying pan, as he was frying, he said, "If I ever get back to the lake, I'm heading for the sea." Okay? So, don't be like that last fish. Life is a journey to the ocean. You're not meant to just stay in your limited understanding. Expand your mind so you don't get trapped in the trivialities of in safasif al-umur, the Arabs call it, low things. Terbisu Iblis. Don't let these dark forces pull you away from your higher calling. To be productive, intelligent human being that actually has something to add to the world, and you're not just filling space. Too many people filling space and not benefiting others. Alright? In terms of the parents, I hope you take seriously the advice about television. Television's a major problem. These games are a major problem. You should read some of the studies about it. PlayStation Nation is a good book to read about serious studies that have been done about the negative effects that these games actually have on neuroplasticity, on attention deficit disorder. There's a lot of work that's been done in this area. Obviously, it's not published because the same companies that own the newspapers, right, own the shares in Nintendo stocks. Right? Really. There was a book written in 1958 called The Evil Eye, which took me a long time to find. I read about it as a source book in another book. I found a copy in Australia on the internet because it wasn't ever reproduced. This book had documented research from the 1950s about the negative effects on television on children that were done serious scientific studies. One of the studies that was done found that small children will not watch real-time television. They get bored. So a 3, 4, 5-year-old, they won't watch a movie like regular people. They just get bored. So that's why if you look at children programming, it's speeded up. It's not in real time. So Sesame Street, it's all quick things, changing images. Now we have the MTV phenomenon, which is children that grew up on that type of programming cannot watch normal films. If you watch a film from the 1950s, they're very slow. If you watch them from the 40s, they're very slow. They're driven by dialogue, not by movement. Now, all the films are driven by quick moving, car crashes, bombs exploding. It's all stimulation. Because young people can't watch. If you watch plots like Crash, older people that watch those films can't even keep up because it's just too fast for them. This is what's happening. And then we have attention deficit disorder is a major problem in the developed nations and increasingly a problem in other places. One out of every 58 males in the United States of America is now diagnosed with autism. Tawahud. One out of 58. It's a disease that wasn't even identified until the 50s. And very handful of people. Now, since the 1980s, there have been a massive explosion of Asperger's disease, autism, and you're starting to see autism now in the Arab countries. Children are overstimulated, they're becoming hyperactive, because you're putting them in front of all these interactive things, so they can't sit in a classroom without fidgeting and getting completely, their train of thought is lost. They can't concentrate for long periods of time. They won't be able to read books. A book like The Brothers Karamazov in English literature is a long book. There's a lot of plot changes. There's a lot of characters that you have to keep in mind. If you've ever read Russian literature, you have to memorize several names to keep up with what's going on. And some of the characters have 3 or 4 different names. You won't have students that are able to read that. They won't be able to read the great literature of the Arabs, Mutanabbi, Badi'u Zaman al-Hamadani, al-Hariri, Ibn al-Muqaffa. They won't be able to read the Hamasa, Ibn al-Mumbarrad, any of these things, because it takes directed thought to do that. So there's a massive responsibility now, and you can't just be like sheep that kind of accept everything that happens and just, خلاص. So a lot of these things are not progress. They're quite the opposite. There's a study going on right now. It's a major long-term study on the effects of cellular phones. But the American Association of Pediatric Physicians says that children, before their skulls are developed, shouldn't be using cell phones because the skull is too thin and the radiation is reaching their brain at higher levels. We don't know if they're going to have tumors in 10, 15, 20 years because this is a guinea pig generation. And we have something which is called the cautionary protocol. The cautionary protocol, which is used by Europeans and Canadians and the Americans just because of our kind of capitalistic enterprise and stupidity, refused to follow that cautionary principle. The cautionary principle states, if you're unsure about the harmful effects of something, then you should have precautionary measures before you actually do it until you find out whether or not it's harmful. If in the volcano in Europe, that was based on the precautionary principle because the Europeans practiced that. A lot of the American commentators were saying they should have let the airplanes fly, but the Europeans were saying, no, we don't want to risk airplanes crashing and people dying because we're not sure the effects of these the volcanic ash is going to have on these airplanes yet. That's intelligence. It's intelligence. خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Be precautious. So you have to really think about what's happening because you're going to have problems with your children before you know it if you don't. And in Korea now, they're thinking about banning broadband after 10 o'clock because so many of the Korean children are addicted to these video games and they're flunking out in school having major problems. These are social problems that are going on all over the planet, and they're new social problems, and they're not being addressed intelligently, and a lot of the parents are completely ignorant about them.